Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Here we go. Here we go. Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go, this is it!
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson.
I'm Sam Delaney.
Good morning, Sam. It's Monday morning. How are you doing? Good.
Well, as we've just been discussing, it's half term. There's a spanner in the works, didn't it?
Yeah. It comes around fast, doesn't it?
I'll be speaking a little bit softly at times because both the kids are in the vicinity.
Oh, my God. Are you not able to have them put in a position of safety for their own?
I wanted to have them put into kennels for the week. I looked into it.
I just meant for the next, like, half an hour while we do this.
They get in the way of everything, don't they? You've got your week sorted out, and then suddenly they're around, and it's difficult. So they should have kennels, shouldn't they? I suppose that's what you call daycare. But I mean proper kennels, like with cages.
Yeah.
Brother has got a dog, and when he's in, like, both his kids are grown up and moved away. So him and his wife, the only thing that they're responsible for is a dog, a small Jack Russell. And his wife's gone away to Sri Lanka for a week to visit her mate. And I said, so it's just... I said to him, this is Casper, right? I said to him, so it's just you and Jerry, right, for the week? Jerry the dog. And he went, it's named after Jerry Francis, which is hilarious.
Of course he is.
No really unglamorous person to name your dog after. Right? And he's gone, nah, he's not about. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, I'll put him in the kennels for the week. Because his wife's away and he can't be bothered looking after the dog. So he has the dog put in kennels.
Oh,
can you believe that?
I can't believe that.
You know, I got work to do, haven't I? I don't know if I'll be around. I said, that's bollocks, mate. You're always bragging to me that you come and go as you please. Remember, he's the one who works for Ridley Scott with the hand dryers.
Of course, yeah.
And he comes and goes as he pleases, as I understand it. So he just literally can't be bothered. She's actually over 2 weeks, so he's already been for a week. So I asked him for an update. I said, what have you been eating? He goes, great. Takeaway every night. He had Chinese two nights running. And the second night, he just rang him up and went, just bring the same as last night.
Bring it.
Yeah. And the dog's in kennels. And he goes, there's a co-op opened at the top of my road. It's changed my life. They do really good wine in co-op now. So he goes, he gets home. The dog's in kennels, so he's not got to worry about that. He goes to the co-op, he buys himself a load of wine, then he orders the Chinese, and he just sits with his feet up watching the box.
I can't see any flaws at all in that scenario.
That's amazing, though, isn't it?
It's great.
Because he'll talk about this dog like it's his pride. Oh, I love that dog.
Yeah.
Best mate I got. He's lovely. I love him so much. They've had him for years. But as soon as the missus is away, right, you're going in kennels, mate. The dog's been locked in a cage for 2 weeks. Can't be bothered. I can't be bothered. Keeping up. There's so much to remember, like feeding it twice a day at regular times. Taking it out for a walk, picking up its shit. Nah, more the missus realm.
How much of a walk does an old Jack Russell actually need once a day?
I know.
You know what I mean? Up down
just
the stairs.
Let it out back. That's what I'd do. We used to do my dog Bella when we were kids. But it was different times when it came to dogs. We used to just let... We had this dog Bella and we were so lazy that sometimes if she was going berserk, stir crazy in our little house, we would just open the front door and let her have a run around. But that was normal.
Local run around.
Notwithstanding the fact that we did live right next to the A4. And when I mean right next to, I mean my mum's house is perched on the side of the A4. But she was shrewd enough never to run into the road and get killed.
Yeah.
She did once get bummed by an Afghan.
Oh, shit.
From up the flats. The Afghan came from the same flats as where Pancho was from.
Right.
Pancho was from... In fact, it was Pancho that discovered the act in taking place.
Really? Yeah.
Because he knocked on the door one day and I answered the door and he was laughing. And I went, what are you laughing at? And then his face dropped out of laughter, because I think it was a nervous laughter. And he went, Sam, Bella's being raped. And sure enough, I stuck my head out the door, and she was being, I don't know if it was consensual or not, but put it this way, there was a big bloody Afghan hound on her.
What kind of dog was
like
Bella?
Nobody's business.
What kind of dog was Bella?
On Bella? And Bella looked at me. I remember the look on Bella's face. She looked at me. We made eye contact, and she looked at me as if to say, why?
Yeah.
And anyway, a few months later, when my nan was staying, and my nan hated pets and was furious when she came to say that we had pets, because we usually had quite a lot. And she'd say it was too much responsibility for my mum and too much expense. And one night when she was there, Bella went into my bedroom and started hyperventilating.
Mm.
And I thought, oh. So I went and told mum, I said, Bella's in my room going bananas. We come up, we're trying to work out what the matter with her is, and it was like farcical, literally farcical. We're just saying, don't let grandma know. So grandma was in the front room watching telly, and one of us kept going in and going, oh, mum, can I have a quick word with you? And we were running upstairs, and it became apparent that Bella was giving birth.
Oh.
And we hadn't actually noticed that she was pregnant. We just probably thought she'd put on a bit of weight. And I said, oh, this all makes sense. It was that time that the Afghan hound got her out front. And mum went, what? You never told me about this. I said, oh, yeah, a few months back, Pancho knocked round. And the Afghan from up at the flats was down there by the bushes. Funny enough, the bushes where I used to dig, you know, where I was digging my super tunnel.
Yeah.
And, I said, and the Afghan was having it off with Bella, but I thought it was just a one-off thing. I didn't really think about it. I thought they would have been shrewd enough to have taken precautions, like a dog Johnny. But no. Or that Bella had a...
was on the dog pill.
Yeah, either on the dog pill or was wearing a dog cap. But no. Dog coil. But apparently they were very stupid and irresponsible. They'd taken none of those precautions. And so Bella started giving birth to all these puppies next to my bed. And we hid it successfully from my grandma for the whole night. This long and protracted birth. Just by like, and left, and it was really like something from Fawlty Towers. She was going, is everything all right up there? I go, oh yeah, everything's fine. Just a couple of bits of thing I need to chat to mum about.
You bit know, of admin.
I'm like, I'm 11, right? Bit of admin, I'm chatting over. You don't worry, so if you get on, what's that you're watching there? The Gentle Touch, lovely. Well, you crack on with that, and we'll be back down in a minute. Or actually, I'll probably be in bed, what with me being a child, so I ought to get off to sleep.
Definitely when not I woke up, overseeing the birth of some puppies.
I fell asleep when there was two puppies out. When I finally woke up in the morning, there was like, I think there was four or five.
Fucking
so
hell.
We had to offload them sharpish. So we put the word out, there's some puppies going for free.
Mm.
So quite quickly, word got round and people were quite keen. They were cute puppies. So we managed to offload them all quite quickly. Well, usually they were friends of friends or friends of friends of friends. We got two or three stories coming back to us that these puppies went fucking demented.
Really?
They went feral and there was something in them. I don't know whether it was the circumstances. They were obviously from a broken home.
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe they were taken away from their mother too early. I don't know.
Yeah.
But they went. One of them went so mad and aggressive that it had to be put to sleep.
Jesus,
this is a story that this is an example of a story that I should never tell on this morning, isn't it?
It's one you added to the list. Yeah, I'm thinking about where this all happened. First of all, what breed was Bella? Because I want a mental image of this
mongrel. But if you want to know
what kind
she
of
looked
size
like,
compared to an Afghan,
medium. Much more than the Afghan. Medium-sized mongrel looked like a sort of most closely resembled a border collie. You know, like a bit like Shep off of Blue Peter.
Right.
But sort of scruffier.
And was the Afghan beautifully groomed? Did he have like lovely long hair?
Yeah.
Right. You can see why she was attracted then, can't you?
Yeah. I mean, I got to be honest, Bella was punching above her weight. She really was.
The other thing that springs to mind as well, this happened near the tunnel. Do you think he was trying to seduce her with the talk of a possible trip to Disneyland?
Yeah, a honeymoon. A romantic mini break in Disneyland. Yeah.
I know how you get to Disneyland. There's a tunnel there, but just do a bit
Bella
of digging.
Bella was so stupid, bless her, that she would have just looked down at that fairly shallow, earthy hole in the council-provided flower beds and thought, yeah, I buy that. I believe that that goes all the way to Florida, and that when we get there, they will permit dogs to entrance into Disneyland, and that the dogs will be allowed on the rides.
Well, there'd be a separate gate for the dogs, probably, like a fast pass queue, just for dogs. Yeah.
That Afghan hound, who probably had a really fancy name like Desmond de la Touche or something. he was the playboy dog of the area, wasn't he? He'd probably had his way with all of the bitches.
Yeah,
the
probably.
Local bitches.
Spawning loads of mental dogs all over the place. It'll have been he'll have been the problem with the DNA.
Making them all sorts of promises, then just disappearing on them after he'd had his way. Moving on to the next one.
Fucking men, eh? All the same.
Pig. Whether they're Afghans or humans, then they're all the same. They're liars.
So, essentially, Casper is veering into stray man territory, but he doesn't realise it.
Yeah, but he'd welcome it.
Yeah, you think he's ready for
it? The only thing about him and stray manning is that he's a strange combination in as much as he loves the freedom of being stray.
Yeah.
But as I've explained to you before, he loves creature comforts and he's used to quite a high level of luxury.
Mm, can't be a stray man and do that.
The hand dryers in his office, the executive enclosures at QPR. He likes all that sort of stuff. And it's hard to maintain that if you're to go fully stray.
Yeah.
But he's in a... At the moment, he's in a great hinterland because it's Chinese takeaway every night for tea.
Wine, no dog, no wife.
Loads of co-op wine and the dog locked up in a cage around the corner.
he's in that absolute stray man sweet spot, isn't he?
He's got
all the accoutrements, I think the word is, of stray manning, but he's got a lovely roof over his head and the central heating and everything.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's classic him. Good fortune seems to always land on his lap, no matter how many times he tests it, like, and how many like things that, if it happened to me or you, there'd be fuck-ups that would ruin your life, like falling asleep in a nunnery, right, or starting a fight with John Terry. Any of these things, if they'd happened to us, we would have probably still been fucked now. Mm. But he just seems to bounce back, and if anything, he's the sort of bloke, he'll fall in a tub full of shit and come up smelling the roses.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you the time when I oversaw the birthing of a group of kittens?
No, that sounds good.
This was at my ex-wife's house, and one of the cats, Sapphire, was pregnant, and I used to go around on a morning, pick the kids up, take them to school, and one morning Sapphire decided she was going to start having the kittens, so she's in a cupboard under the stairs.
This isn't the talking cat.
No. This is a different one. This is Sapphire. That was Brambury. This is Sapphire. So Sapphire's like, she's in this lovely bed in the cupboard under the stairs in the darkness. How they like it, you know, when they're giving birth. And she'd given birth to two or three kittens, I think it was. And my daughter looked and she said, look, the first one that was born, Sapphire's lying on it. She's going to suffocate it. And I said, no, it's nature. It's fine. This is, you know, don't interfere with a cat when she's giving birth because she might, you know, attack you or something. You've got to let nature play its course and all of that. She won't let it die. She's a mother and all that. So I took the kids off to school and I went back to have another look to see how the birthing situation was going about half an hour later. And there was another kitten that had come out. And sure enough, that first kitten that she'd been lying on had died. She had suffocated it. She accidentally killed her firstborn. And as I opened the cupboard door, she was fucking eating it.
Oh, my God, no.
Yeah. She was
this
eating it.
This is why you've never even got the chance to be on this morning in the first place.
Yeah, I wouldn't even get in fucking Jeremy Kyle with this one.
I mean, that, in comparison to my story about the Sardinian peasant men shooting a demented cat.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds like a fucking heartwarming tale for the ages in comparison to what you just said.
That was a human on dog attack. This was nature.
On cat.
And I looked it up, and apparently they do this. If one of the litter dies, they eat it for sustenance. Because it's full of nutrients.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not denying it's nature, and there's nothing that any of us could have done. Well, you could have stopped it. Oi! What the fuck are you doing?
He's already dead, though.
You could have got a stick. Get off, that's disgusting. No one wants to see that.
Brought a funeral. And you could hear the bones crunching as she was eating it. It was awful.
Oh, mate, stop. Stop, I don't want to hear any more. This is too much for me.
Oh, we found Sam's line and we've crossed it. There it
no,
is.
No, look, there's, I mean, listen, I've got a couple of cat stories that are as bad as that, that I have held back from.
Really?
Telling. And I'm still not going to now. Like, they're on a par with that. And it's crossed my mind before when the subject of cat death has come up on this podcast, which it has done now I think about it to a worrying amount.
Pretty much once a week.
Yeah, but the world's not ready yet.
Maybe we should do a separate Patreon for cat death episodes for people
behind the paywall.
People who've got
cat
the stomach
death
for it.
Special,
yeah.
you get a 1.5-hour episode just exclusively devoted to just bad shit involving cats and sometimes dogs.
Yeah,
but you have to go behind the paywall because it's very much 18 certificate.
It's under the counter stuff, isn't it?
And the thing is, I want to. In case people haven't listened to all of our podcasts so they won't know, I want to stress that we are both animal lovers.
Oh, fervent.
I mean, I am a fervent lover of cats. My cat has been involved in this podcast a couple of times. A couple of times when I've been busy, I've asked my cat to fill in for me. And a lot of people have preferred him. Nelson's quite the talker. I mean, Banbury would be brilliant.
Oh, yeah. Good morning. Oh, welcome to the Price Fly Machine. I'm Banbury. Sitting in for Andy Dawson to take a Bradbury.
I'm Sam Delaney.
Mouse.
No, Banbury. Say your name at this point.
Mouse.
No, Banbury. Don't just keep saying mouse.
Ow. Result spot.
It would be quite avant-garde. If we just got... If we're going away... And we haven't got our equipment with us. We could just get Nelson and Banbury to take over.
Yeah, we could do. We could do. It'll probably be more popular than this.
Yeah. Jalapeño.
Hello, this is George Weah, the former footballer of the year. And I have a tremendous opportunity for you if you are a fan of Top Flight Time Machine's comedy stylings.
Do you have a pen? Listen to this. For only... approximately £3 plus value added tax per month, you can enjoy bonus episodes of Top Flight Time Machine focusing on the life and times of Roy Keane, the footballer who was not as good as I.
You will get advanced episodes of the Kevin Keegan Odyssey. I do not know who that is.
I assume he was also not as good as I. All it costs you is £3 plus VAT per month. And you also get all of the regular Top Flight Time Machine episodes with no adverts in at all. Adverts such as this one.
Where do you go to get this tremendous service?
Just go to patreon.com/Top Flight Time Machine or follow the instructions at the Top Flight Time Machine Twitter account, TF Time Machine. How can you possibly go wrong? Here's a clue. You can't! Subscribe or perish.
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
Should we talk about the FA Cup before any other business that we've got to
discuss? Yeah, we'll have a look at the predictions league.
Oh, not good for me.
Oh, wasn't that bad. You got one correct score. You got Brighton 2, Derby 1.
Oh, well done.
You predicted that one.
So 3 points there, that's
three
good.
3 points, and you also got a point for predicting that Manchester City would beat Newport.
Whoa.
And you said 4-0.
And I nearly got that correct.
Yeah.
I said 4-0, it was 4-1.
No one thought Newport would score. So you got 4 points. I got 5 points because I got Doncaster 0, Palace 2 correct and a couple of others. Oh. Results bot got 1 point. So that now means you are still top, Sam, on 91. I am now second on 86. And Resultsbot is languishing back in third place on 84. Remember when he was top?
It's amazing, isn't it? When we thought that its lead was, and I say it's, which is my new thing, because I don't want to refer to it as him.
You don't want to genderise him. It.
Well, it's not that. It's just that it's beginning, it thinks to an increasing extent that it's a salient being, right? Rather than just a rudimentary piece of metal that can say 1-0. And I want to put it in its place.
It's got a cock, though. We talked about
its
cock
an
the other
object.
Week.
It's an object just like a Hoover or a toaster.
Isn't every man's cock just an object at the end of the day?
I'm not saying the cock's an object. I'm saying Resultsbot as a whole is no better than a toaster. A toaster with a cock.
It's an object with a cock.
You can get toasters with cocks. They're those toasters that have the attachment that poach your egg at the same time as toasting your bread.
The cock comes out, you poach the egg on it.
We've seen it in Argos. In the catalogue, it says, now, with egg poaching cock attachment.
Pull out cock. I'm sure we both know men who, to describe them as an object with a cock would be a compliment.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So, you know, to be fair, I don't think it's fair or right to call Resultsbot an it. If he wants to be
some men, you call them a cock with an object attached because they're more cock than man.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it's wrong to misgender and to dead name people who've you know, decided on the gender of their own choice, and Resultsbot very much wants to be a man, so I think you have to refer to him as a man.
That's his choice, exactly. All right, fair enough. Well, Resultsbot is languishing right back there since Total Predicting took over. He's been found wanting.
Yeah.
He's an anachronism. He's the Jose Mourinho of this league.
Yeah, and he's got no way of changing it either, has he?
And we're the Jurgen Klopp and Pep Guardiola.
Very much so. Yeah, so there we are. That's where we're at in the prediction league. Best tweet we've had over the weekend was one that people sent into us, which was one from Pelé from quite a while ago, admittedly. Pelé, who of course we've recently described as football's biggest bullshitter.
Correct.
And this tweet from Pelé, it harks back to 2017, but it's timeless. He says, I once got sent off in a game against Colombia. The decision was so unpopular with the crowd that the referee then sent himself off. I added the laughs there, not Pelé. But, you know, you imagine he laughed as he tweeted it. Fucking
hell.
Pelé,
after his made-up goal last week, he's so desperate now. He's just making up biographical details.
Yeah.
That are quite clearly never true. And on his next fucking Viagra ad, he's going to be like, I am Pelé. I have not had a full erection for over 20 years. But even when I am on a semi, it is still harder and bigger than most men's full erection. So it doesn't matter. And in fact, if I take Viagra, my cock would become dangerous. So I never take it.
But buy it anyway.
But you should, because there's no way your cock will be good as mine. Imagine Diego Maradona's little worm. He is so changed up all the time, he probably can't uncoil it. All right, mate, stop being obsessed with Maradona.
I am Pelé. Even when I am on the flop, I am bigger than you. Buy Viagra. Buy Viagra, you assholes.
That's actually a great marketing line.
So yeah, and then
buy Viagra, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, someone appeared in the replies on Twitter to say that this, in fact, indeed was somewhat true, that the referee had walked off because they got such a bad response from the crowd and the linesman took over as the referee. But I choose not to believe that. With some
first
stories.
Of all, that person can fuck off.
Yeah.
Right? Where's their proof?
Exactly.
And secondly, if that is the case, then the referee didn't actually send himself off. What he did was he was bullied off the field, and Pelé should not be taking pride in that. It's actually horrible. It's like, haha, he sent me off, and then the crap, but he soon learned. It's like one of those people who gets their mates to come and bully someone on their behalf.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. He's enabled a crowd of... imagine if Pelé was playing, it would be over 120,000.
If you provoke a Corbynista on social media and then they organise a pylon?
A pylon or a dog pile.
A dog
dog pile, that's the new name for it, yeah.
Pelé organised a dog pile on a referee and now, years later, he's still laughing about it. What an absolute cunt.
Referee's probably dead. Took his own life as a result. Yeah, and his whole family curse Pelé every day. Every time they see a cock advert on the telly, they curse Pelé because he was
Pelé's going around bragging about this.
Yeah,
he was the
architect of their granddad's demise.
Yeah,
and now he's strutting around with his fucking flop on, selling dick pills,
bragging about how his fucking semi is better than the rest of ours full on.
Bastard.
What an absolute prick.
Bullshit.
Do you know that I got reprimanded for my language on Twitter at the weekend?
No, I didn't. I imagine you didn't take that very well, though.
No, you couldn't be more wrong. Here, I'll tell you.
God.
You're like this.
Was it from an official entity? Was it an ombudsman?
No, it was from someone who had a picture of a puffin as their, what do you call it?
Avatar.
Avatar. I'll find it. They've got 2 followers.
Right.
I looked through a few of their tweets, and most of their tweets were sort of reprimanding people for not upholding the standards.
Of the puffin. The standards of the puffin.
That's what they called it. The standards of the puffin shall be adhered to at all times. Okay, I'll read you the thread. So there's this puffin person. I don't know if it's a man or a woman. I can't work it out.
Be a man. It'll be a man. It's always a man.
All I'd done, someone called Rachel Brick. Hello, Rachel. Rich had tweeted us saying, "My dedication to Cunterton is so strong, I've actually changed my location." He'd changed his location to the Swiss village of Cunter, which you may have noticed
yes,
a few people.
And we're planning to do an episode from there, special episode from Cunter.
We'll do an episode from Cunter soon.
Once the whole Brexit thing dies down.
Yeah, and I just retweeted him saying, setting an example to us all. This puffin, I won't name the person, because that's unfair. I don't want to be responsible for a dog pile.
No, who does?
Hang on, there's a couple of tweets. Listen to this. I used to like you on TV.
Oh.
Not on it now, though. I think that's like a dig, which I'd take personally if I'd ever been on TV for more than 5 minutes. It's not like I was once Noel Edmonds and now I've disappeared.
Where are you now?
Yeah, exactly. Where am I now? You could ask, where was I then? Anyway. Not now, though. However, your foul language is so gratuitous, I would never watch you again. And here's the kicker, Andy. I think you have children. Are they as foul-mouthed as you?
Oh, of course they're not.
What? Why are they bringing my kids into it? And how do they know I've got kids?
Listen to the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Then followed up. Didn't get a response after a few minutes, so followed up with this. How pathetic. Do you only know swear words? Why don't you extend your vocabulary? Or is it just an attention-seeking device? Answer, yes.
A bit fucking rich from him.
Such a sad man, right? Well, actually, Puffin Face, yes, I am quite sad, and you're being quite insensitive, and you should see my swearing as a cry for help and try to reach out with kindness to me.
If he's a regular listener to this podcast, he'll know, A, that you've got kids, and B, that yes, you are sad, and that this entire podcast is a cry for help for both of us.
So why is he being so mean? So maybe he's the inhuman one, not me. Anyway, I've written, this is what I wrote. Classic power play this.
Okay.
This is how I responded, Andy. You're right. I am pathetic. I apologise.
That would have enraged him.
Yeah, it's taken the fucker quite a few hours after that. 5 hours, I think, to respond, to process what I'd said and formulate a response. This is what they came back with. Thank you. Now do something about it. If swearing defines you, you are not up to much. Certainly not respect. All your swearing mates are in the same camp. Think he might mean you. That sounds, all like the other cunters.
That sounds like a really good Carry On film, doesn't it? Carry On Cunter Camp.
So I just wrote back, agreed.
Power player. Oh, yeah.
And he's written back, thank you. That is estupendo. Like, I think he's written in Spanish to throw me.
Ooh.
And we left it at that in the end.
Again, a reverse power player from him.
Yeah, that is estupendo. I don't know. I think he's got two followers.
Tell
I looked
fuck
at some
off.
Of his other tweets, and I think he's one of these people who just goes on Twitter to try and provoke an exchange with someone that they might have heard or seen.
From someone vaguely notable, like yourself.
Yes, and then thinks maybe they think that then an interaction with them makes them feel
I don't alive.
Know, important or relevant. And then they think the best way to do it, because, you know, a lot of cunts get a compliment. Like, I might tweet Rio Ferdinand and go, haha, nice one, Rio. You're the best defender I ever saw at West Ham.
Yeah, you do that, don't you?
For instance.
Yeah.
And Rio Ferdinand, I'm just talking theoretically. I'm not saying this has happened. And I might do something along those lines 10 or 12 times a month over a period of 4 years between the years 2012, 2016. And Rio might not once so much as like the tweet, let alone reply. So maybe in the end, if you try to attract people that way and it doesn't work, you resort to actually being abusive, because abuse is more likely to elicit a response.
Yeah,
abuse
definitely.
And criticism. And the truth is it does, because people receive compliments and they just kind of shrug smugly and go, oh, God, another fan.
Yeah.
But if someone has a pop at you, you go, wow, that's really upsetting. Or if you're like me and you're cool as a cucumber, you just go, yeah, mate, you're right. I'm a fucking Wally. Shame, innit?
He
I hope
did
you
that,
feel sorry for me.
He did that classic thing that arseholes do when they're going to try and pick a fight with you by adding as well, big fan of your work, but...
Oh. Bringing the kids into it as well was a massive... Didn't have to do go so soon on that. Keep
didn't
that
have
up
to
your
bring
sleeve.
Your kids. Nah, keep my kids Are out your of this, pal.
Are your kids cunts as well? Oh, hang on, mate. That's a bit of a leap. One minute you're taking issue with the fact that I swear too much, which is true.
Yeah.
The next minute, the kiddies are involved, which isn't on.
Oh, God. Right, well, that's enough for this episode. We're going to be back tomorrow with a brand new deep dive into the mailbag of all your bullshits and sex feels and stray mans and all that kind of thing. I'm going to leave you with
we'll also address, because I know there's people waiting for us to address what became known over the weekend on Twitter as Badgegate.
Do you want to address that now, because they're probably waiting for some kind of, you know, outcome of
well,
that.
Look, I said that the 1,000th follower, the 1,000th subscriber on Patreon would get a badge.
Right.
Then there was 1,000th subscriber, and the wife made some badges for me. I put in a special request. She made 3 badges. Yeah. I tweeted a picture of them and told the lad that they were on his way in the post.
Right.
And I will send them off today. I forgot last week. And people responded to this with immense hostility, resentment, bitterness.
Yeah.
And mainly an overriding sense of entitlement, Andy.
Like, yeah, I think as well.
There are fucking badges. Yeah. Now, we said there might be opportunities to get badges. We never promised anyone badges in return for their £3 plus badge.
And we certainly didn't say they'd be free either.
Yeah. So everyone, just get off my fucking time and ask for badges, because you're making yourself look like pathetic babies.
Yeah. Needy,
just imagine what Roy Keane would say about this. Fucking badges. What do you need fucking badges for? What's that? A picture that you pin to yourself. Oh, I'm going to pin a picture to myself. I'm going to pin it. Oh, like it's like got some, like it's my birthday today, so everyone fucking knows it's my birthday. Pathetic.
It's got
grown
got
men my, wearing badges.
It's got my little favourite opinion on my favourite catchphrase on it. And I stick it on my body so everyone can read what I think.
at the stupid fucking fuckcast I listen to. It's pathetic. You should be embarrassed. And it's true, you should be embarrassed to wear our badges. That said, I've thought of a shrewd marketing ploy that will cost none of us anything.
Right.
Here's what it is, right? But it has to be signed off by you. So at the moment, what people are hearing is a conversation that we should have off air, but we're going to have on air,
I'll cut it out if I need to.
You can contemplate it and give your verdict on the next podcast. I suggest that for a period of 2 days, and we will say when those 2 days begin and end, everyone who gets a mate to subscribe on Patreon gets a badge.
Nah, fuck that. Too complicated.
But then we get... Do you see what the benefit of it is? Is that it's like, tell a friend. More subscribers. The friend then treats their evidence of subscribing with a note saying, I have subscribed and I was told to by so-and-so.
A fucking
and
note.
And then I go... Yeah,
how are they going to get these notes to us?
Pigeon.
Yeah, I'll have a think about it.
No more badges. All right. Maybe you'll come up with something else that's more of a trial situation. Well, I don't know.
I'll tell you what. If you're going to stop the badge thing, stop tweeting pictures of the fucking badges you've made.
I know.
You're a fucking
problem,
badge tease, Delaney.
I know. I tweeted the badges, and that's what started it all.
Exactly.
But the thing is, you have got to look at yourselves because you're acting like babies. You're acting like I wouldn't expect this of my 7-year-old getting that fucking excited about a badge.
You can get a badge machine for like £10. Go and buy your own fucking badge machine. Do your own badges.
Yeah, make your own fucking badges with your own catchphrases on.
Yeah. Have you got any? Doubt it.
Yeah, I bet this is one. If you haven't got one, here's a suggestion to all of you. How about this? I'm a fucking baby cunt.
That, or even when I'm on the flop, mine's still harder than yours. Put that on your badge. Go out and wear that if you dare.
With a picture of fucking Pele.
Fucking arseholes. Right, quickly, news all without right. news. Give me marks out of 10 for these. Mike Tyson offered zookeeper £9,000 to let him fight silverback gorilla.
10.
Octogenarian sat on burglar who tried to steal his model railway collection.
10.
Finally, Detroit family wants answers after mother's casket found in alley with dog skull and no body.
10.
Hey! A full house.
This week.
This has been Top Flight Time Machine. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with some more mailbag content from you, the cunters. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.